WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Friday night's devastating tornadoes in Mississippi are now blamed for at least 23 deaths, according to state emergency officials. They say dozens of people are missing. The damage extensive, especially in Sharkey County.
The house is gone. I guess it threw them through the wall or whatever. It's rough.
There are about 90,000 reported power outages in Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee. U.S. officials tell ABC there have been two new attacks on U.S. bases in eastern Syria. U.S. service member was injured in one of them. On Thursday, an Iranian drone killed an American contractor that led President Biden to order retaliatory airstrikes. Two people were killed Friday. Nine are missing after an explosion at a chocolate plant in West Reading, Pennsylvania. The cause is under investigation. And two migrants were found dead. At least 10 had to be hospitalized after they were found at a sweltering freight train in Texas, not far from the border with Mexico. This is ABC News. Major development in the special counsel probe into former President Trump's actions leading up to January 6th. The federal judge has ordered several top aides, including the White House chief of staff, to testify before a grand jury. ABC Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl has details.
Former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is a key witness, one of the few people with Trump in the days leading up to January 6th and on that day itself, as his aide Cassidy Hutchinson testified before the January 6th committee.
And said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know, things might get real, real bad on January 6th.
Trump is expected to appeal the judge's order that Meadows testify.
Hundreds of teachers in Colorado rallied at the state capitol Friday, demanding better protections for students and staff. Molly Sheehan, an elementary school teacher in Denver, said,
I think a lot of teachers and students are afraid to go to school.
Days after police said a 17-year-old in Denver shot two administrators during a pat-down and fled. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Spilled your milkshake? Quick, the quicker picker upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your milkshake.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and their life is better than your
Bounty, the quicker picker upper.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Two American banks collapsed in the past week. As Eric Tegedoff reports, some consumers are considering alternatives like credit unions.
Troy Stang is head of the Go West Credit Union Association, which represents more than 300 credit unions in Oregon and 5 other states. He says tumult in the financial market historically generates interest in the local structure of credit unions.
Whether it was with the dot-com bust, whether it was with the activities that led up to the Great Recession, consumers at their kitchen tables started having these conversations more intentionally about who is it that we do our financial services with.
Silicon Valley Bank's collapse is the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. To get depositors their money, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has stepped in. Stang notes that National Share Insurance Fund, administered by the National Credit Union Administration, is the equivalent regulator for his institutions and is paid for by the credit union system. Stang says credit unions are not-for-profit and member-owned.
We're not accountable to Wall Street investors. We're not accountable to other forces outside of our membership. And so it's a much different model.
Stang says many of the credit unions in his association have spent the last week reassuring customers and noting differences in their institution structure from others. He adds a strong financial system is important for consumers, regardless of which institution they bank with. I'm Eric Tegedoff Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
March 18th, 2023, St. Patrick's Day weekend. It was 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. It must be time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here in the NAMI building at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yauman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw, especially during this Women's History Month and on the St. Patrick's Day weekend. And in this very moment, we are living Women's History with today's very special guest. Waukesha, please say good morning to Coach Libby Andrews-Miller and members of her mock trial team here to celebrate their second state championship in 3 years after their third consecutive trip to states in a row. Can you say dynasty? And I know Anastasia, my engineer, say hello to everyone. She's doing the woo-woo. I love it. Did you go to Waukesha?
No, but I was in mock trial. I didn't realize you really? Guys
love
were mock
it.
Trial team. So go mock trial, yes.
And who did you compete for? What school?
I competed for the prestigious Wausau West University.
Love
University
it.
High
hey,
School.
I love it.
They did really well this year.
They did.
I think they took third, yes.
I'm so proud.
That is fantastic. So, yes, and we were giving Libby's full name, her maiden name, because she is also a Waukesha South graduate, so Black Shirt Pride in the house. And, you know, we've got quite a few coaches that were South graduates. John Stillman, the new varsity baseball coach. Bo Richter, who's been the basketball coach for 11 years. And other coaches throughout the school. So, but you are like the Pat Summit or the Coach K, if you will. Like, you are 2 state championships in 3 years. And I would be remiss if I didn't introduce you to guests or members of the team. Junior Reed Miller. Spoiler alert, yeah, Libby is Reed's mom, but it's none of this coach's son thing. He is a phenom in his own right. And coming out of the shadows now that his sister's graduated, she was on that state championship team 2 years ago, and Reed is making a name in his own right. But my knowing him as well as I did, he always has. And Reed's a junior. And then our senior, Talani Sopau. Say hello, you two.
Hi.
Hello.
I love it. So, one of the powers I still have as a former alderman than I did as an alderman, and really anybody could do this, but I reached out to the mayor's office, and they will be doing another proclamation for this mock trial team. 2 state titles in 3 years. So, but Reed, you're the one that'll have to speak. Now, I know your sister Margaret did last time, so. But
I'll throw something together, I promise.
Yeah. So, but the mayor, you know, he was going to call in, or we're trying to get him to call in, but he's vacationing in Florida, and that's how he spends St. Patrick's Day every year. Maybe the only Irish mayor in America that gets to go out of town during St. Patrick's Day, because we don't have a lot of Irish here in Waukesha, or at least not a real active community. I know it was a fun St. Patrick's Day here downtown. I know I had a great St. Patrick's Day at home, making shepherd's pie and cold can. And there's leftovers if you guys want to stop by. Yes. And watching March Madness. And, like, that's what better way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Did you guys watch the Purdue game?
I did. I was.
Wasn't that fantastic?
It was insane.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Don't tell. I hope none of my managers are listening right now. I was washing dishes in the back of Potbelly, just having the game on my phone, like inside of a pan, hidden. But I watched the whole game. I was freaking out, not to make noise. It was awesome.
We were pretty excited about Marquette's win as well.
We were.
Yeah, and I was pretty excited about Michigan State's win. So it'll be a big game tomorrow. I know I have to keep a low profile if Michigan State wins. I kind of hope Marquette wins. I'm a big Shaka Smart fan, and it's great to see the local team do well. And I'm old enough to remember when they won it all in 77 with Al McGuire. But speaking of championships, too, I got to give a big shout out to another Waukesha South program. The 8th grade boys basketball Black Shirts team won the middle school state championship last Sunday or last weekend. So congrats to them. We're hoping to have their coach and some of their players on the show at a future day. But very exciting. Great news for those young kids. Back to our friends here on the mock trial team. So for everybody's benefit there, how does a mock trial competition game match? Or there are actually trials. How does that work? Libby?
So it's exactly what it sounds like. The kids put on a trial. We receive a case packet from the state bar in about October.
From the bar?
From the state bar. It has, so this year's case was criminal. So it has a criminal complaint. It has jury instructions. We get the rules of evidence. We have affidavits for various witnesses. And then the students have to prepare to try both sides of the case, either as prosecution or defense. So we have three students on each side who act as attorneys and three who are witnesses, and they compete against another team. So if you're on prosecution, you're trying to establish that the defendant is guilty. And if you're on the defense,
beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right. And the kids know exactly what reasonable doubt means. And we're not searching for doubt. What are we searching for?
The truth.
The truth. So
if we're prosecuting.
So it's not a real life trial then. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that.
Right. And so if you're on defense, you're trying to convince the jury that the defendant is not guilty. And the jury consists of three attorneys who score the case. They score every part of the round. They score opening statements, direct examinations, witness performance, and then a presiding judge who just votes for the overall winner. So typically there are three ballots.
Okay.
And you need to win two ballots to win your round. So that's how the trial works. And we work on the case, like I said, starting in October. This is March. So we've been working on the case for several months now.
Wow. That's cool. And then is like what, how many trials do you have in, say, a regular season, if we may use sports terms?
So the true season is really just regionals. And if you advance out of regionals, the state tournament. But some local schools host scrimmages or sort of mini tournaments throughout the season. Brookfield Central and Brookfield Academy both host scrimmages. And this year, we actually participated in more scrimmages than we ever had.
Do you think it's unfair to say that we did more rounds during scrimmages than we did in actual competition? Because I think that's correct.
I think it was exactly the same because we had three tournaments and we had three trials at each tournament. Then we had four rounds at regionals and five rounds at state.
Right. Okay. So it was 18 total matches, nine of which were like scored.
Sure.
Officially.
Okay. And then do each students get up, like the three lawyers, do they all get to make arguments? Or is there like kind of one lead attorney like you see on TV or on court TV?
It's usually pretty evenly split because there are three witnesses. There are three witnesses on each side. So each attorney is usually assigned to one witness to cross-examine and direct-examine a witness.
Nice.
But then we have statements. So three attorneys on a side, one will give an opening statement. Then we have the middle attorney who doesn't give a statement but just handles witnesses.
Okay.
And then the third attorney gives the closing argument.
And this is not super conventional, but on our team, Talani gives both openings and I give both closings. Typically, you would split those up again among a couple attorneys, but we had them on lock this year, as they say.
But this year, for our scrimmages, we actually had all of the attorneys give a statement, but when we came to competition, it was Talani and Reed, and that strategy obviously paid off. Both Talani and Reed received outstanding attorney awards at the state tournament, which is almost unheard of to have two students from the same school receive that award.
Wow.
But no disrespect to our other two attorneys on the team. They are phenomenal. They did very well. They're both sophomores. They did very well at our scrimmages, scored highly. So the future of the program looks very bright.
Well, and I remember Reed was on that team as a freshman 2 years ago that won state. So you do a good job of grooming them when they're young. Is that fair to say?
As a prosecutor, I'm not sure I'd agree with that terminology.
Yeah. But speaking of training them, whatever you want to say. But
well, they put in all of the work. And we actually have three teams, and we have so many just phenomenal underclassmen that we really have, I think, two of the best teams in the state.
Wow.
I would agree with that.
But unfortunately, only one team is allowed to advance per school.
Does either side get to object, just like they're,
yes.
Objection, Your Honor,
badgering
the witness?
You would not believe how well these kids know the rules of evidence.
But you can't say badgering the witness if you're at state, right? You got to use different.
Oh, no, you can.
You can say that.
You can say badgering.
And they're not offended there in Madison if you...
I don't think that's an objection that we have used.
I
don't remember.
There was probably a point this year where I could have whipped out that objection.
Tend to have our objections be a little more refined.
Yeah.
No, the kids are masters at the rules of evidence, better than many attorneys that I work with. It's great.
Sure. Now, do you see? Because I have the great fortune of knowing Reed. He played baseball and basketball with my son for many years, and they remain good friends in high school. And you have an interest in technology or numbers, I believe, right?
I'm a pretty big math guy right now, yes.
Yeah, but is law school a possibility for you or for you, Talani?
I would...
Knowing the success, and obviously it's got to be fun for you. Yeah.
I would say it's probably the most... I don't necessarily know if any career is like likely to happen at this point. They're all pretty close together, like whether I want to do something in math, whether I want to do something in law or government or poli sci. But I mean, you know, a law school would obviously help with the background if I was going into government as well. But I would say that it's probably the most probable outcome at this point is that I go to some sort of law school. If you ask me right now,
fantastic. Who
knows how I'll feel in a year or 2 years, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. How about you, Talani?
Law school isn't necessarily out of the picture, but it's not really in the picture right now.
Sure. What other interests do you have, like areas of school that you're excited about?
Education.
Nice. Oh, teaching.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's great.
She'd be a great teacher.
She would be a great teacher.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, good.
But the kids learn so many skills in mock trial aside from just how to be a lawyer. It's public speaking.
Right.
Thinking on your feet. Working
research.
With teammates. Right. It just so many... good life skills that they can use no matter what career they decide to have in the future.
Sure. How many hours would you say are required to I'm using a lot of sports analogies, but I'm even with other types of clubs or with theater, there's a certain amount of hours you can guarantee you're going to put in to have any type of success. How much would you say you guys are averaging on a daily basis or weekly basis during the season, if you will?
Can we answer this?
You can answer.
Yeah.
Well, that's tough because it fluctuates so much. Basically, we'd work whenever we could.
Okay.
But working whenever we could with just how packed our schedules were a lot of the time, like we coincided directly with the musical at some points.
There you go.
We have kids who, you know, almost everyone on our team works a job outside of mock trial. So overall, very inconsistently, very broken up. We'd have to meet during like 30-minute increments multiple times a day.
Sounds great.
it was probably about 10 hours a week at the start. And
so, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about all the other activities and commitments this young mock trial team and their coach are involved in when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. Doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm warning continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy skies today with snow likely. Highs level off around 38. Northerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 25. Tonight mainly clear. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 43. High of 40 Monday under cloudy skies. 42 Tuesday. 3 to 5 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Radio.com.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl.
Do you know this one, Reed?
It's a tearjerker.
It's not very uplifting.
I know it. Michael, it's The Fields of Athenry by Patty Riley as This Week in Waukesha returns. And it's become an anthem at Irish soccer and rugby matches. The chorus line. You could play that, Anastasia, if you want. Don't be afraid of your freedom. This is the opening line. But it's a story about a guy being in prison for stealing food for it's during the Irish famine in the 1840s so he could feed his kids. And it just as Reed said, it really tears at the heartstrings. But the chorus line here has become, you'll hear this at Irish soccer and rugby matches or other sporting competitions. And it's become kind of an anthem. And I want them to do it at South sporting events or mock trial even. The Fields of Athenry. Where'd you go, Anastasia? Where once.
It's not a pump-up song.
You get enough people to yell it, though, really loud, and people get fired up.
The middle of a try.
No, at the end. So, okay, Anastasia, you can take it off. Thank you. So, but normally after my show, Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel comes on, but Jim won't be here today, and Anastasia helped me with this from a programming standpoint. He will be at the Wisconsin Grassroots Festivals with our other colleague, Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show, and it's a gathering of activists and leaders from grassroots groups from around the state, and so I'm really excited. So Jim will be broadcasting from there, which sigh of relief because he coaches the rival mock trial team at Brookfield Central.
And Brookfield Academy.
I stand corrected. Brookfield Academy. Jim, apologies if you're listening. And Jim's he's a gracious host because he brings in cannolis for me and my guests on occasion. So he would have had to bring in like a half dozen, I think, for our crew here today.
We miss you, Jim.
Yeah. Love it. So best of luck to Earl and Jim. And I encourage all listeners to check that out. Do you know what time that goes on till today that we'll be covering that, Anastasia? Nope. So, okay. But, I know Calvin will be coming in to help cover that as well from the engineering standpoint. But we were talking about these are obviously bright young minds. And during the break, Coach Libby was saying that you got to be pretty smart to be in mock trial. You got to be at least a very tenacious student, correct?
Yes.
And being great students, they're also great, well-rounded people. And so they're active. They work. Like Reed mentioned, he was quiet quitting at Potbelly, at least during March Madness. He wants to stay committed there, but he plays tennis and he's played other sports in the past, like basketball and baseball. I was trying to get him to play football at one point, but again, a very bright mind, you know, not the better of that. So, Talani, what do you like to do? What else are you involved in?
I'm an avid member of Waukesha South's Black Shirt Players drama department.
Nice.
By avid member, do you
but
mean
I also
president?
An avid too?
I do mean president.
Oh, wow.
I'm also like president of the choir department. We have a after-school advanced choir like that that is going to WSMA district this weekend at Waukesha West.
Wow.
Almost Congrats. Everyone in mock trial is involved in either a music or a sport.
Love it.
I don't know. Mock trial is just...
So you guys could sing the Fields of Athenry after a big victory, you know, or at least or to kind of pump you up. But you just got to... Now, Reed also has a band. You still have the band going, right?
Yes, we do. We're doing quite a few shows right now. At least we're trying to look for them. It's a little bit of a curve right now because we've played a lot of the local venues. Like, we've played Cactus Club. We went up to Madison to play the Rigby. Wow. We just... It's hard for us to book shows because two of our members are... under 18.
Yeah.
And so we can't play bars or anything like that. But we have our album out right now on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere where music is streamed, called Open Book. The artist's name is Bunny Blues. It's really I think a very good record. No bias. But
sure. You have an album out.
Yeah, very proud of
fantastic. We'll have to come back. You'll have to play some tunes. Have you come back in the summer?
Absolutely.
A little jam. So
absolutely.
Do you ever, because we tonight from 6 to 12 every Saturday night we have what's called Max Inc. Radio, and you can check out live bands out of Madison. And so we should talk to Rocker about getting your band. What's the name of your band again?
Bunny Blues.
Bunny Blues.
We make rock music. We don't make blues music. We make sad music.
Hey, but
it's not really blue.
Blues is a big driver to rock, right? It's one of the fathers.
Definitely true. Yeah, blues, jazz,
and so. I love it. So terrific. And so, yeah, very musically inclined. I think that's fantastic. Now, what I don't know if you saw the Facebook post promoting the show, but it was that moment, and I think I got it from yours, that moment where you both won in your life, you know, like, in your rising.
The jump.
Yeah.
Well, so we were not expecting that in the moment.
I was feeling pretty.
Yeah, we were pretty dejected when they took the break.
I just think we were very worn and tired after having to try that case so many times that we got really nervous because
finish what you're saying.
The last time we had done the state competition, we felt like we won by a very wide margin.
Right.
This time when we walked out, we felt like it was very close. And I think we have a very pessimistic mindset when it comes to figuring out when we won rounds, because we always underestimate how well we did. And so when we went back in, we were just kind of really holding out.
But was it you, or was it the level of the competition you were going up against? Did they give you stiffer?
Shorewood was excellent. I mean, we went against Shorewood both years, but they were a completely different team this year.
So it's more of a credit to you guys that you survived. Even if you didn't think you were having a great day, you were playing against much tougher competition. And you know, when you raise the level up, that's exciting. It's definitely great
for sure.
There's such a thing as a fan experience in the mock trial.
Well, it was great in the final because the state bar had a photographer. We don't have that in other rounds. We can't record our rounds. So it was fantastic that she caught that moment on film. Because I, if you know the kids, everybody's personality is perfectly encapsulated in that picture. Everyone's reaction's a little different.
So when we come back from the break, I want to hear more about the actual trial, because you said you've tried it before. And then also what's next for you guys. I understand there's national competition, and some of your alumni that are also doing really well in the collegiate level, including another member of the Miller family, Margaret. When This Week in Waukesha continues, don't go away. Let's talk. Plus some news on more news on Carroll Sports, as well as some great opportunities for participating in the future of our city planning downtown. Don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues.
Our love was on the wing. We had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Friday night's devastating tornadoes in Mississippi are now blamed for at least 23 deaths, according to state emergency officials. They say dozens of people are missing. The damage extensive, especially in Sharkey County.
The house is gone. I guess it threw them through the wall or whatever. It's rough.
There are about 90,000 reported power outages in Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee. U.S. officials tell ABC there have been two new attacks on U.S. bases in eastern Syria. U.S. service member was injured in one of them. On Thursday, an Iranian drone killed an American contractor that led President Biden to order retaliatory airstrikes. Two people were killed Friday. Nine are missing after an explosion at a chocolate plant in West Reading, Pennsylvania. The cause is under investigation. And two migrants were found dead. At least 10 had to be hospitalized after they were found at a sweltering freight train in Texas, not far from the border with Mexico. This is ABC News.
The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens. And I'll tell you what, it's more fun than tipping cows. And actually, you shouldn't really tip the cows, okay? They don't tip as easy as they think, and they might kick you in the... Never mind.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Southeast Wisconsin could be in for a lot of wet and heavy snow tomorrow. Forecasters predict 5 to 8 inches of snow from Janesville, east to Kenosha, and north to Manitowoc. Madison and the Fox Valley should get 1 to 5 inches. It's supposed to come down fast enough to make roads slippery for a time, but it's warm enough that the snow won't stay on the ground for long. Majority Republicans on the Wisconsin State Building Commission are rejecting every recommendation in Governor Evers' capital budget request. Evers' capital budget request is the largest in at least a decade, coming in at almost $4 billion. Republicans are expected to approve a shorter list of building requests later this year. That's what they've been doing in the recent past. In sports, the Bucks are at Utah tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
This is Buddy Holly by Weezer, and Reed has this actually on vinyl, correct?
Yeah, I'm a massive Weezer fan. I have like 5 records.
I love it. Amazing. I love fan. It. So we're going to talk about, but before we were talking about the type of trial that you did, as well as some of your what some of your alumni are doing now, but and the fact you're going to Nationals. But really quick, I was talking earlier about how did you spend your St. Patrick's Day yesterday, and I must one group of people I know had a great time was our Carroll University softball team that was in Claremont, Florida, and they were victorious over Bowdoin College 8-7, improving the record to 7-9. So congrats to them. There's also some other great Carroll accolades this week. Steve Hermsden of Carroll's men's indoor track and field finished his indoor track career. March 25th, 2023. You can keep that music playing. Hey, better late than ever. If it's 8:34 on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the NAMI building at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage. Again, our apologies. The weather got in the way of starting the broadcast on time, but we are here, and we wanted to squeeze in. Speaking of Theodore Yellman's, we have very special guests this morning. The second district alderman with over 20 years of faithful service in this role to the city of Waukesha, Eric Payne. Eric, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dodd. Thank you very much for the invite this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for your patience. We will have Eric on. Next week's show will be pre-recorded, so you will have an opportunity to get a full show with Eric next week. But he's here. He braved the elements, and him and I are of the belief not much to brave. You know, it's just another beautiful snowy day here in the Shaw.
Yes, it is.
So, but of the five or six open seats for alderman, Eric's is the only one up for re-election. And he's against challenger Bob Salb, who was my guest a couple weeks ago. And shout out to Bob and his family. Glad to hear Bob is safe. He was in a pretty bad car accident yesterday, and best of luck for a speedy recovery. Alderman Payne, again, thanks for coming. You know, former colleague, a very good friend to our families, and now with the redistricting that gave me new life at Civic Media, Eric is now my alderman. So, Eric, what are the biggest issues in Waukesha's government that you feel are the most important ones that residents should be concerned about?
Well, right now, I think the biggest concerns are filling vacant positions for city administrator, public works director, both very important positions in the city. They carry a lot of weight, and we need to go out and find the right candidates to fill those positions, but that's going to take some time. So in the meantime, we've been looking for an interim city administrator, and we have an interim public works director right now. So that'll all take time to iron out. And people are wondering about our water. That's on track to be done this fall. And we have a lot of road projects starting up, so everybody's going to have to look for those, and they're all important things. To a lot of people, the roads are the most important thing out of all of it.
So I'd heard before we moved here in 2012 that the roads prior to that were atrocious, and that the city had made a real effort in recent years to clean that up and improve the quality of our roads. And I remember in my time as alderman, there were a lot of comments on how much more improved the roads have been.
That's all true, Don. And what we've been doing every year is we've added a lot of money to that part of the budget for road improvement on both major roads and minor streets, which are considered your residential streets in front of your house.
Sure. So. Terrific. So, and you currently are chair of Buildings and Grounds, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And you also serve on Public Works and Transit Committees?
I do, yes.
That's fantastic. Yes. And for 2 years, you were council president. In fact, my last year as alderman, I believe you were the council president.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was, you know, it's all nice to be council president.
Right.
Okay, but it's kind of like a meaningless position, actually.
Sure.
If you want to get straight at it.
I know on the one or two occasions that the mayor's out of town, you preside as the mayor, you know, the leader of the council. You preside over those meetings.
Right. That's
so that's.
Yeah, that's about the only job that you have. Sitting in as
right.
the mayor. So.
Sure. So, well, I imagine too in crisis situations, I think you'd be one of the people in the situation room. I would think.
I think they would call and let you know, but the city would be run by the city administrator at that point.
Sure.
So who's ever council president really wouldn't have any authority over what takes place.
Right,
I guess they don't trust us that far.
Sure. That's fair. So now one of the big news is that our city administrator, Kevin Lehner, will be leaving to take on the role as the city administrator for the city of Janesville. And what has the council and what has your role been in terms of transitioning to a new city administrator?
Well, when we're going to, what we'll start out doing is reviewing the city administrator's job as a whole.
Sure.
And whether we should leave it with as much authority as it has right now.
Okay.
Or dial it back a little bit and give some of the powers back to the mayor.
Sure.
And during that process, after that part is done, then we'll form a committee. And the committee will be in charge of interviewing the candidates.
Sure.
And from there, we'll hopefully pick the right person to fill the job.
Sounds great. Sounds great. You know, you mentioned before the show, too, that there's some other leadership roles kind of in transition that the council needs to be mindful of, or that you're at least mindful of.
Well, public works director.
That's right.
Which is hugely important part of our city.
Right.
I mean, he covers everything. He covers your snow removal today.
Sure.
You know, making sure the streets all get done.
Right.
The sewer, sewage treatment plant, which is, they call the clean water plant now.
Right.
That all falls under that job.
Sure.
Title.
Right.
So it's a very big position.
Yeah.
And so you got to make sure you get the right qualified candidate to fill that position, because the wrong one could really be a mess.
Sure. Sure. I hear you. And I was going to say, since the redistricting, you know, your district has spread all the way to Banting Park into my neighborhood. What is your plan for building a more connected community in Division Two? District Two. I know that doesn't happen overnight.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you got bumped out of your job, Don.
Thank you. Hey, I got bumped up, though.
Now I'm your alderman.
I'm the only alderman with my own office here.
Yeah.
Well, in my own in-house council, James Santel, Morning Cannolis is on next. Jim's already arrived in the studio, giving us the big thumbs up. So I've got a great support. I got Anastasia here on the board. So I feel very, very blessed. You know, it's like it's someone, when that happened, and I was obviously very upset because we had talked about it on the phone,
yep.
You and Jody. And but as I remember one of my mentors saying, hey, you know, God closes one door and he opens another.
Well, you know, when that all came down, Don, and I don't know if you want to talk about it right
sure.
now, but when that all came down, all they had to do, and I tried pushing for that, and you mm-hmm. know that I did,
right. Oh,
to,
yeah.
to push the boundary back.
Right.
So you would still be the alderman of,
right.
of a district.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't hear it.
Right.
And it was kind of.
There was a surreptitious nature to the whole process, too, that.
There was, because they usually
disconcerting to me.
Yeah, they usually bring us two or three choices on redistricting.
Right.
And we ended up with one,
yeah.
which was totally unfair to everybody involved.
Yeah. So but the good news is that, you know, you're my alderman. So that's a positive. And then this opportunity came across with WAK Radio and Civic Media and, you know, being able to talk about local issues and local news. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. And I appreciate your support during that. So it was a very yeah. troubling time for me and for my family. Now, we tried doing this show and it didn't quite work at the very beginning here. Again, our engineer was caught in weather. So, but we were talking about your service as a Marine. Cause I want, you know, it's one thing as when I meet a veteran, first thing I say is thank you for your service. So I want to yeah. thank you for that. Not just talking about your city work, but how has your service as a Marine influenced or helped you in a leadership capacity as a legislator?
Well, I tell you, before I left the Marine Corps, I ended up getting the rank of sergeant. So I was in charge of quite a few people. And what the Marine Corps did for me was it made me grow as a person. You went in as a, you know, immature kind of 18-year-old and you come out, you know, hopefully
yeah.
a better person, which I hope I did. But it gives you the opportunity to learn how to work with people.
Right.
You know, because everybody, especially in the military, you gotta be on the same page or people die if it comes to that point. So it just helps you make sure things are in order, things work fine.
Sure.
And dealing with problems, you know, as they come up, you gotta kind of be able to hit it right away. So,
sure, sure, terrific. And then I was going to ask too. You know, it was very, and I've been very public about this. It's upsetting to me that more people aren't running for local office, especially when we had 5 or 6 seats open.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, why do you think people are not running for office? What can the city do? What could you do as an alderman to encourage more participation? Even if they're not running for office, like what other ways can people participate in our local government?
Well, that's a hard thing because people look at what government is and whether it's Washington style government,
sure,
or Waukesha style government,
right.
You know, they see a lot of stuff they don't like about it.
Sure.
And they really don't want to be involved in it for $5,000 a year. You know, they right. don't want to put their, they don't need the headaches of doing that, you
yeah.
know, and it's a fit for some people and it's not for others because it's not that attractive of a position. All right. And,
sure.
And if they wanted, you know, cooperation in the way city does things,
right.
You know, the visual things that people yeah. see every day when they go by and they think, what a screwed up city we live in.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
doing stuff like
sure.
that.
Yeah.
You know, and it just turns them off as a whole.
Yeah. So, because you've lived here your whole life.
I did. Yeah, I do.
And yeah. so your experience with local, it's unique to Waukesha. With me, I've lived in like 5 or 6 different cities throughout my life and I've always been very skeptical about local government because I've seen the dark side, the bad side of it. But I will say, and I'm being honest here, the Waukesha runs very well. I know I just had some little critiques there when I was talking about the redistricting. It's not perfect, but this city runs well. My experience as an alderman, when I'd have a complaint from a constituent, I would find the right person responsible. They would educate me. I'd educate the constituent. I would put them in touch so they would talk to the constituent directly. And even if it was the answer that the constituent did not want to hear, they appreciated the level of service they got from their alder as well as from that person in public works or in parks, wherever. Explaining why this is the way it is. And a lot of times that's people just, they want good communication.
Yeah. And there, I find out that their people are happy, even if it's like you mentioned, the wrong answer.
Right.
They didn't want to hear,
mm-hmm.
but you're explaining something to them. You're getting, you know, you didn't just blow it off and, you know, well, that's no big deal, but
right.
you actually go after and try to resolve the problem.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
Sure.
And like you say, My experience in the city government, it gave me the, I know who to go to.
Sure.
For each problem.
Yeah.
And without any red tape.
Right.
You know, I can go straight to the source who needs to deal with the issue.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
And get it hopefully resolved.
Absolutely. No doubt. So, hey, we come back from this break. We have a little more quality time with Eric Payne. He will be on next week's show to make up for the time we missed earlier today when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away. And thanks, everybody, for your patience as well as we work through these issues. This Week in Waukesha continues.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm warning continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Cloudy skies today with snow likely. Highs level off around 38. Northerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 25. Tonight mainly clear. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 43. High of 40 Monday under cloudy skies. 42 Tuesday. 3 to 5 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Proficient or advanced in English language arts. And, you know, as a school district, 56% of the school districts in the state are ahead of us on what's called the achievement priority score. So it's just very disconcerting to me. And I'm just going to leave that there. Because now I'm back to my guest who handles another area of city business, Alderman Eric Payne. Hello. 20 years of service. Glad to have you back.
Hi, everyone.
Yes. And so I was looking at your flyer, beautiful flyer. That's your grandchild, one of your grandchildren on your lap, I see there.
Great-granddaughter.
Great-granddaughter. Yeah. So fantastic. Should be
3 in May.
Should be 3 in May. So what do you – obviously 20 years of experience – there's a lot to be said for that, that I would think gives you a distinct advantage over your challenger. Would you comment on that?
Well, I don't know that there's ever an advantage. You know, you do the job, you hope you've done a good job, and let the people speak when they go to the polling place.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if you have a good record and, you know, then you can most likely be reelected. But this year, because of the redistricting, I have your district, and those people over there don't know me from Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like starting all over from the very first.
Sure.
You know, to introduce myself to those new residents and talk to them and get their concerns. And hopefully you'll be able to walk around with me one day this coming week, and we'll get some door knocking done. And
there we go. Sure. Yeah, you know, we might be able to enlist another friend of yours, a fellow Marine and my predecessor in the first district, Terry Thieme, a county supervisor.
Yeah, Terry's a good friend.
We'll have to give Terry a ring because I'm sure he'd be happy to help. And Terry's been on the show.
He's like three houses out of the district, right?
He is. Yeah, he's just so Banting Park is really now like kind of the Berlin Wall between District 1 and District 2. So everybody on that side of Banting Park all the way to like Manhattan or Cardinal that was lived in District 1 is now in your district here. And then I think the part of Cassie Rodriguez's District 3 was also because that was where her district started.
I go up the Wolf Road now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So it is like a whole new, brave new world for you.
Yeah, from the river up.
Sure, sure. So as you're coming over to our neck of the woods, you know, what's kind of your elevator pitch to people you're meeting for the first time?
I just ask them if they have any concerns. I introduce myself. I ask if they have, anything they concerns they wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Or, you know, and then I'll take note. And if it's something they want me to look into, I certainly will look into it. But I'm kind of a casual person the way I carry myself. And I just talk like a regular person talks to somebody a friend.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Sure. So. Hey, real quick, because I know we're short on time, just some quick Carroll news. Believe it or not, we had a baseball game at Frame Park last night before the weather came, and Carroll had beaten Marion University 13-6 thanks to 8 unanswered runs in the first 3 innings and held Marion scoreless until the 6th inning. First baseman Ward Thomas led the Pioneers, going 4-for-5 from the plate and 2 RBIs. Pyle's next game is tomorrow at noon, weather permitting, at Frame Park against the Muskies of Lakeland University. And possibly tonight, the Carroll Women's Lacrosse will be playing it's the Blue Golds of Eau Claire at 7:30 at Schneider Field. They won 20-7 against Concordia last Wednesday night. They're 7-2 for the season, so that could be a lot of fun to catch the Pioneers in action for lacrosse. And then last Friday night, the 17th, the Pioneer softball team lost its season opener to the Blue Knights of SUNY Geneseo, 8-2 down there in Florida. And there are a few Geneseo alumni living in Wisconsin, including Rick Rechtenwald and his wife Mary Alice up there in Neenah, that are regular visitors to Waukesha. So congrats to them. And, you know, back to Eric Payne. You've lived here your whole life, and one thing I've found, especially coming from Evanston, Illinois, town-gown relations here are pretty positive between, you know, the city and Carroll University. Would you agree?
Oh, I do agree. Yep.
Sure.
When I was going to grade school up at Randall, I lived on Grand Avenue, and we used to cut through to campus. And I remember when the campus was really small.
Sure.
You know, and now how it's grown.
It really has.
Crazy.
Yeah. Sure. And it's really grown in stronger partnership with the city, too, which we're excited about as well.
And they help with security. They have their own police force, and they help with security in that area.
Sure.
And, which is a big help to our PD.
Yeah.
Who keeps us safe.
I never thought of that, but that's good to know. And then, hey, I know, 'cause we're running short on time, and I wanted to get this little tidbit in because, you know, Eric's lived here his whole life, and he was talking about the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here, also the WAUK studios, was once a cuddling room?
They had upstairs, I think it was.
Oh, okay. I thought it was here on the first floor. No, okay, in our studio.
It might have been, but it was in this building. And they had cuddle parties. Where people would bring a blanket and get together. And I never went to one, so I don't know.
But we believe it's of a non-erotic nature, because it was advertised in the newspaper and everything, right?
It's supposed to be relaxing, that you lay on the floor and cuddle
with a
stranger.
Find someone to embrace. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So
it didn't last too long, but.
I can imagine. So I wonder if that made its way to the council. So
never had to vote on that one.
Terrific. So, so here we are. You know, we're running short on time, and I wanted to do a big call out. We can't forget to elect Warren. Speaking of voting, elect Warren Zevon to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's finally been nominated after years of neglect, or shall we say, just oversight. That's vote.rockhall.com. Vote for Warren Zevon. Do the right thing. And then, as for Eric Payne, for those like, what's the one thing, and I know we're gonna get together again and record a show so we have more time next week, but what's the one thing you want to leave District 2 voters with as to why they should vote for Eric, why they should reelect Eric Payne?
Well, one of the big things in my whole time as being an alderman is the safety of the city and making sure our police force and our fire departments have what they need to keep everyone safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing, keeping neighborhoods safe.
Yep.
And the other things will be just handling day-to-day problems that come up within the neighborhood.
Sure. Yeah. And I know you've been very active in that, and you've voted very positively towards police and fire. So terrific.
Yeah, that's a big, important thing, because without a good police department, fire department, you don't have much of a city.
Sounds great. So. Terrific. So, well, and like I said, we've seen a couple trucks go by during the show. So we know Public Works is hard at it and in a timely fashion. And, So
they're doing a pretty good job, it looks like.
They sure are, yeah. And so you said you'll have the snowblower out later today, right?
Yeah, later on. Make sure it stops all the way before I go out. I only want to do it once.
Sounds great. So now you mentioned, too, you're retired. So
I am.
It's great. So you get to focus on being a granddad, a great-granddad, and alderman.
Right, yeah. And it makes my alderman job a little easier, because I have the city government's only open during the daytime.
Yep.
Regular people work during the daytime. Yep. So it's hard to, get things resolved or find time to do it. Now I have the time, the extra time where I can take care of things during the morning or the daytime, afternoon.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Second District Alderman Eric Payne up for his fifth term, I believe, as alderman. And he'll be back for next week's pre-recorded show. Thanks to all of you for bearing with us on this snowy morning. Thanks for joining us. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Vote Warren Zevon into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And see ya!
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Thank you, everyone. All right.
Hey, thanks so much.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.